Welcome to the Baraza, Season 2, a show that aims to talk about Africa, the African story, and the African experience. Each week, we take on various topics, which throughout the course of the season will not only educate, inform, and also entertain. I'm your host, Benjamin Walgwe, joined in studio by my co-host, Patrick Wendolo. And Patrick.
Yep.
Yep. How you doing?
Yes, Benjamin.
We're finally on season 2, episode 1, the long-awaited, the evasive one, the elusive
one.
Yeah,
I'm fine. It's been elusive. I don't know, but finally we converge and you know we get to do it.
I know.
And it's been, you know, what can you say? Our life is a roller coaster.
Yeah, and then some. You know, yeah. So, how have you been, man?
I've been all right. A few changes here and there. Getting busier.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, I thank God, you know, for His mercies and really engaged in family stuff. But otherwise, I've been like so busy.
Mm-hmm.
But we make time.
Okay. Anything?
What about you?
I've been good, you know. Research as usual. I've been anticipating this episode for a minute. Came across a bunch of things. Went through African Cup. That was. I think that was interesting. You know.
Pretty interesting. Wow.
Yeah, that was good. To see, of course, from an organization perspective to completion. So for me, I was like, damn. Yeah, they did it. You know,
and
I think for me, for the first time, African Cup was quite entertaining. It was, it was nerve-wracking. But it was good.
Despite being riddled with controversy, but
I know
it was really, really, really entertaining.
Yep. Yeah.
To see the guys who rake in money for European clubs.
here we go. I guess the show has started.
Wow.
Hey, talk about let's keep the nitty gritties and get to the business.
Let's cut through the chain.
Anything interesting you've come across? Anything, you know, of interest?
No,
it could be a show,
but
it could be a book. Could be anything.
I was reading a book by a friend, Helen.
Mm.
I told you about Helen, a friend of mine, and she speaks a lot about mental illness and how we have a big problem in Kenya, especially. Mm. If you've read the news, you know, there's always a case of a guy killing his wife and, you know, mental health needs, we need to focus more on mental health, especially for the men or boy child, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to mentor men how to handle empowered women,
mm-hmm.
you know, and conflict resolution. So that's something that that really perturbed me, because the cases are rising every other day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and also being that I went through depression, I can relate to a lot of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
So when it goes undiagnosed or when you have people, you don't have the right support group or people who don't understand
mm-hmm.
what's going on with you,
mm-hmm.
then it reaches a point whereby you can do things that you don't understand yourself.
100% true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because at that point, you really don't know that you're depressed, right?
Yeah.
We misuse that word. You say, oh, I'm depressed. No, you're sad.
That's true.
Depression is a very dark place, Benjamin. It's a very, very dark place.
Yeah.
It's a cave whereby you hear voices, you have no self-esteem. You feel unwanted, you feel worthless.
Your back is against the
It's
wall.
like a, yes. And in my own experience, for a while I couldn't look at myself in the mirror, and I didn't know. And for the few times that I did, I couldn't recognize the guy on the other side.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how crazy it was. And it was like I lost some years of my life. It was like I wasn't there, an out of body experience, kind of.
Yeah, I can imagine, man. But you
Yeah,
know,
so anyway.
like a phoenix, here you are.
Ah, from the ashes, man.
I tell you.
They said I couldn't do it. I did it.
You done it,
Yeah.
man.
Yeah.
That's
You
what's
know,
up.
and I thank God. I found that strength to rise up again. And yeah, and you really, it really changes your perspective on life and what's really important and what's not. Now, that was even fortified with COVID. You know, COVID, you're locked up in your house, you know. And you realize you can do without so much that you think is important to you. You know? Yeah, oh, all that was noise. No, all that was noise. I could actually sit in my house with the basics and I'm good. Yeah, so yeah, it just fortified my introvert nature, but you know, it is what it is. Yeah.
It is what it is.
Yeah, but I'm good. I'm good. I'm thankful. I, you know, I'm just amazed at what our brother Putin pulled off most recently.
Wow, you wanna touch Russia already? So how about this? So I heard your story. Now,
Yeah.
let me give you my story. So I came
Yeah,
across
that good.
mine is basically a movie. So I watched a movie, right? By the name The Eternals. It's a pretty recent movie. It's one of those, I think, DC or something, you know, one of those.
Ah, it's the by the Marvel DC Comics.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, okay.
Cra crazy movie, Pat. Crazy movie. So I don't mean to spoil it for everyone else, but from a different perspective. So in this, in the Eternals, they have four categories of people, right? They have the Celestials, they have the Eternals, they have the Deviants, and they have the humans, right? So the Celestials created all bottom three, right? And the basically the humans were created as a source of energy feed for the Celestials, and then the Deviants were put again on Earth to control, like population control, okay, to control basically the population by consuming. So this is just a food chain type of thing, right? That one does not become more than the other. You understand? And then when the deviants went out of hand, the Eternals were sent to protect the humans from the deviants. Because at the end of the day, the Celestials, how they multiply is that they plant a seed onto the planet, okay? And the seed feeds off energy. And if the deviants kill all the humans, then the seed cannot be born, right? Because the seed feeds on energy. And guess what the seed is called? The one planted on Earth. You guys, it's crazy. The seed is called Tiamat.
Sorry?
The seed that was planted in Earth in the movie, right?
Yeah?
It's called Tiamat. Wow. So I think from there,
Wow.
yeah, from there now I think we can begin. And out of the Eternals, right?
Yeah.
Out of the Eternals, basically the only one of them called Thena, who knew their true purpose. You know, she used to go crazy, wild, lose her mind, but she knew their true purpose. So she was trying to, you know, stop them from the whole process of ending Earth, basically.
Annihilation.
Yeah. So anyway, you should check it out, man, from a different perspective.
That sounds brilliant.
It's crazy.
I definitely.
It's crazy. The Eternals, man. It's crazy. Yeah. So, yeah. So anyway, that was just a side story.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
And in those categories, where would you place Will Smith and Chris Rock?
God damn. But Will Smith and Chris Will Smith and Chris Rock. Damn. No comment. I think that's too soon.
It's too soon.
Too soon, man. Let it simmer at least for a month. Too soon.
Okay. It's all good.
Let's get back to the Russians. You were telling me something about Russia.
No, I'm just, you know, I was just intrigued that our martial artist finally pulled it off.
Hmm?
Our martial artist finally pulled it off.
Yeah, you were saying? Mm. Which martial artist?
I was saying, yeah, your bow-legged guy Putin is a martial artist, man.
Oh, snap. I like it. I like that. You called him my guy. Viva Russia. Damn.
Ruski. Viva Ruski or vodka? I don't know.
Well, dude, I have my opinion about, you know, the Russian and the Ukraine war. It's more than meets the eye. It's more than what meets the eye.
Exactly.
It's very, very economical and strategic. So it's not what the media is just portraying and what the media is feeding people. You know, to some degree, the media feeds people a lot of hogwash, though. But if you look behind the scenes at what is happening and what has been happening, then you'll get to realize that this whole conflict really there's more than meets the eye. In my opinion, there's the aspect of oil. The whole wheat thing, that now we don't have wheat. I'm like, really, guys? You know?
Yeah, natural gas.
Yeah. You know? So.
Yeah. And
I'm just like, man, it's a smokescreen, if you ask me.
You remember, and I concur. You remember what Malcolm X said once?
Mm-hmm.
In regards to the media,
mm-hmm.
that the media can make you believe that the aggressors are the ones who are saints,
mm-hmm.
and the ones who are actually being oppressed,
mm-hmm.
are the ones who are the demons.
I know.
Okay, I've put it in my own words,
mm-hmm.
but you know, and then he also says. That the ones who controls the media controls the minds of the masses, which is of course the truth.
100%.
Because if I own the media house,
mm-hmm.
I can push forward any narrative,
mm-hmm.
that I want. And most of the time, like there's a research that was done. When you look at maybe a certain event,
mm-hmm.
that's happening, if you cut across and do some research on all media houses, it's like they're in agreement.
Yeah,
and the way they report.
Yeah, because the information is also centralized, you know.
Yes.
So
they push out what they want. Mm-hmm. They'll push out a perspective of, say, Africa,
mm-hmm.
the way they want it. Mm-hmm. They want the world to perceive Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Or, for example, Now we have this conflict, the Ukraine, Russia invading Ukraine, but no one's talking about what's happening in say Israel and whatever, Palestine.
And for me, to be honest, Pat, I think that economic warfare is something that you cannot see. You cannot see it coming. You cannot see, you can only experience the aftershock, the afterwave, the aftermath, you know? And it's not like your common bombs and whatever. It's like these days, people don't come rob you at the bank with like
No,
machetes and
no, no,
stuff.
no, no.
They're like, no, we'll siphon your thing 150 cents at a time for a period of 5 years,
Exactly.
you know?
Exactly.
So
Because
it's not as aggressive and brutal as back in
as
the day.
obvious, it's not as obvious as it was back then.
Yeah, but then again, it has nothing again to do with us as Africa, because you know, if you look at back in the day, we would get caught up in things that really had nothing to do with us, you know.
Many a
Yeah,
time,
World War
many a
Two,
time.
World War Two. How many people were? How many countries gave their troops to go fight on behalf of? If you ask them, they have no clue even what they're fighting for. They're just like, well, we were bundled up into something and we landed and we fought, you know.
Yeah, my grandpa was one of those guys.
Well, you and me both died in Belgium.
Yeah, well, they are fighting a war that's not even yours. Or terrorism. Currently. I mean, you have issues with America and Europe have issues with Islam or Islamic countries, and we bear the brunt of them invading these countries, killing their kids and blah blah blah. So now, we have like the attacks that we had in Nairobi, which had nothing to do with us.
Nope.
Collateral
Proxy
damage.
conflict.
Yes.
Proxy conflict. You know, you have issues with someone by a proxy. I'm like, how? It doesn't work, you know.
But they did it in Libya. Look what they did. Now Libya is regretting.
Yep, and that's why, you know. Yeah, that's why I think when I sat down to think about, you know, what exactly should we talk about today, and figure out in our season two. And I thought that, you know what, we should go step by step and figure out the plunder of Africa, right? And I thought that no better place to start than home. Because why would we talk about any other person without starting with ourselves? So when I say home, of course, to those listening, I mean Kenya, right? So as I was, you know, as I was sitting, I can't remember what I was watching exactly, but I think no. Actually, I think I was driving past the SGR, right? And
Sorry, I beg your pardon?
was driving past the SGR.
Oh, I thought you were using the SGR.
No, past the SGR.
Oh, for our listeners, SGR is the standard gauge
Gauge
railway.
railway. Yeah, sorry about that.
So
And
in
yeah, and you know, for me, again, with my curious mind, I keep on seeing, you know, these initials and all these names, you know. But I'm like, who exactly is building our roads? What exactly is, you know? So I always ask the question, why are they building the roads? Why is it that we don't have expertise, we don't have machinery, we don't have the raw material? But when you look at it, most of those things we kind of do have, if you talk about raw materials and etc. But machinery, again, that's a whole other design, because that again has another thing to do with industrialization and why the West will not allow us to industrialize. So that's a whole other thing.
Yeah,
But
that's a huge topic on its own.
yeah. So I was like, okay. So I came across what's it called? What's the contracting company? The company that was doing the SGR.
Is it China Roads and Bridges
China Road and
Corporation?
Bridges, yes. China Road and Bridges
Corporation.
Construction Corporation, right? And I
Yes.
was like, okay, so these guys, they're here, but who are they? Because I was trying to understand how is this beneficial to Kenyans, right? When a whole project is like that is being done by the Chinese. So I needed to understand, did Kenyans have a role to play? What kind of deal was struck here, and what does it look like? But in my quest for that, I stumbled upon some other stuff, which was okay, when I was trying to understand who exactly are China Roads and Bridges, okay? Then I realized that China Roads and Bridges is a subsidiary of China Communications Construction Company, which out of the deal, you realize that they were actually later on contracted to operate the line, okay, for the first 5 years. And later on, I think there was another deal struck, and they're continuing, I guess. And now, of course, they came in as experts in construction and specialized projects, right? So question mark number one, why don't we have those? Okay, which is my first question mark. Why? Is it that our technical institutions were destroyed, redundant, or what happened? And how can we get back there? Okay, so I was like, okay, fine. Now, later on, another company comes in because I asked myself, this is a huge project. So who financed the project? Because I know the government could not afford it, right? So I'm like, okay, so here comes a company called Exim Bank. This is Export Import Bank of China. Okay. And they funded part of the project, and the remainder of the project was basically funded by the government. Okay. They advanced the loan in two subsidized in two phases that were subsidized, okay? So there was a loan of 1.63 and another one later on for 1.63, okay? Now here comes the game now begins, okay? Because Kenya now comes in and says and puts in a condition, right? And the condition that they imposed to finance the balance of the 40%, okay, or about, let's say, 130 billion. They said that they wanted it to be spent on local supplies, things like sand, cement, electric cables, iron sheets, steel, and stuff like that. So I guess that was agreed, but Exim Bank now comes and say gives another condition, right? And the condition for them to give the loan again is to have an acceptable operator, basically chosen by the bank. Now, do you see when you're talking about
An acceptable operator.
and no, acceptable to them?
Acceptable to the bank.
Yes,
Exit.
yes. And this is where
Okay,
now
so.
this is where now the mother company, China Communications Construction, comes into play, because you remember they were contracted to operate the line because Exim said that they would like their operator of choice for them to release the loan.
Of course. Yes. Correct.
So you see how the game is being played now, because still all the money leads back out. So
Yes, it does.
yeah, so Exim of course put in their caveat, and the caveat is, okay, you know what? We need our person
Own expert.
to operate this whole line. So Kenya of course says, you know what, all right, cool. What we're going to do is we'll cancel all other international tenders, and we'll contract the mother company, CRBC. Okay. Now the game does not end there, because the mother company, now you can't just come as, you know, you can't have China all over, right? So now, again, you got to put on your mask on, mask off, right?
Yeah.
And you need a viable subsidiary that just rolls off the tongue, right? And nothing better.
Yeah, that gives it a different base.
Of course. And nothing better than something that starts with Africa. So they called the subsidiary AfriStar. Wow, oh, man. Wow, you cannot make this up. So
I would be interested to know the directors and, you know, and everything.
Well, I think it gets more interesting, but so AfriStar, right, is then a subsidiary of China Road and Bridges Corporation, and is the primary contractor of the line. You get that?
Wow.
Yeah. So AfriStar was given the legal rights to the first 10 years of operation of the SGR. Okay? And now you gotta think about it even more, because as much as Kenyans have been employed, right, by the SGR coming into play, the Chinese still occupy most of the critical positions. Dispatchers, locomotive drivers, specialized things. Then again, we go back to, why are there no specialized courses being run? What happened to the Kenya Polytechnics, the, you know, all those? Why are they not recognized and, you know, equipped to feed the government with such expertise, you know? Not everyone has to be a lawyer or a doctor, you know? So these guys were given that. And then now you have, you know, no comment, but you have to look at it. Now, let's take it on a grand scale, okay? And let's just remove Kenya for a minute, right? Because now you have to figure out, what is your enemy packing, and how can you counter that?
Yes, indeed.
Right?
Yep.
So you have to look at the fact that the Chinese, I would say, and this is nothing to do with statistics or anything, this is just by eyeballing the situation. I'm like, to me, these guys are everywhere. Mm-hmm. And it looks like their biggest export is labor, you know? And
yes, indeed.
Yeah. And if I look at it in another, from a different perspective, China is going through desertification due to rapid industrialization. Okay?
Yes.
And their level of desertification is currently at a rate, well, I don't know whether to say currently, but last I checked, it was at about a rate of 67 kilometers every year. Okay?
What?
Yeah. These are now things that people don't know, why the Chinese are deep in the heart of Africa, acquiring land left, right, center, you know?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah,
yes.
So.
Right here.
Yeah,
right here in Kenya, that's happening. Yeah,
100%. So 90% of that desertification is occurring in the West. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, approximately 30% of China's current surface area is considered a desert.
30%.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's considered desert. Overgrazing and expansion of agricultural land basically is what is causing that, because their boom in population, they need food, right?
Yes.
So where are they going to get their food from? They're running out.
Ah,
So
Yes. Yeah.
so they got to look at it elsewhere. And where do you think they're deep in the heart of? They're in Africa,
Right in Africa.
which literally is the bread basket, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so
But you
they
know, it's interesting. It's very interesting. For example, in one of our shows, we spoke about DRC Congo and its ability to feed the whole of Africa and several other continents. But food security is an issue in Africa. For example, now with China coming in, and I've heard, from reliable sources that they're purchasing or leasing land in Africa. Of course, that they're offering very good prices for this land. Yeah. Then now that leaves Africans, the locals, with barely any cultivatable land. So, thereby increasing food insecurity in Africa, because now we are left with land that really isn't good enough for cultivation. So it
100%.
exacerbates the whole food
100%.
insecurity situation in Africa. So but you see, our leaders are greedy.
Yeah, look at what they did with Ghana, with the cocoa. They went there in
My goodness.
under the cover of we are mining gold, and they involved the small scale miners who dug their whole land for looking for gold. And later on,
Imagine that.
now they're complaining that, oh man, we cannot plant crops because they dug the whole thing looking for gold. And
Yeah, hold on.
yet the Chinese, the thing they were really doing is they were propagating the cocoa from Ghana. And then they go back to China, there's a whole province growing cocoa from Ghana. And they started exporting cocoa to Belgium.
Killing their market.
I'm telling you, it's crazy. And people don't see it. It's like, I don't know. You know, the leaders definitely don't see it. Because, you know, yeah, politics comes first than your population. So they definitely don't see the problem.
I put it as greed. I put it as greed, and then you see that the problem that we have in Africa now, the people who are conscious and aware and want to educate the masses are done away with very quickly.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Because the Ken Saro Wiwas of Africa,
Oh yeah.
remember,
Oh yeah.
where from where he came from, the land was completely flooded with oil, so they could not cultivate any food, and he was fighting for his people.
Imagine.
But
But you
because
gotta go.
probably, yeah, you gotta go because your leader is getting some kickbacks from whatever oil drilling company, and you've got to go. So we haven't reached a level whereby we have conscious leaders, and the minute they attempt to sprout like the Patrice Lumumba's, they're done away with very quickly, like Gaddafi, who had stocked up on gold and really wanted to just, give Francophone countries a different deal whereby they could have their own reserve bank instead of France.
Imagine.
So they won't let it happen. And then they put in their puppets, some brainwashed Africans who really just have self-interest at heart and really don't believe in and have no vision of where Africa should be and are willing to make the sacrifice. No, we don't get those guys are killed.
Of course.
Those guys are killed without a doubt. And of course, being that they also control the media, so they create a perspective and come up with a narrative about that person. And there you are, like Gaddafi. You're gone. Now they're regretting.
True that.
Yeah, now but here like for example, Iraq now has hit the highest amount of oil exports, billions. But
Ah,
you know where
through their artificial short, right? Come on now.
yes.
COVID, there was a shortage.
Well,
They had to reduce the production during COVID because there was no
yes.
movement, and all of a sudden there was
Yeah.
movement. So which dumb guy, Pat, does
Yes.
not keep the extra for reserve? Which dumb person
Oh.
in any business to that
So
scale is not going to
they,
keep that as a reserve
yeah.
to later on?
Come
So what,
on.
yeah, what they've done is that
We
they've just said there's a shortage, so let's increase the price and yeah, cover what we lost during COVID. Really?
you create create an artificial shortage.
Of
It's
course.
possible.
Yep.
It's very possible.
Yep.
So our leaders haven't we don't have conscious leaders because at the moment, yes, because of the disruption that Russia and Ukraine have created in even in oil production amongst the OPEC countries, right? If we had forward-thinking leadership, we would take that advantage because demand in Europe for oil, we could bridge that gap and come in
But who
and
controls
bridge that gap.
OPEC? Who controls OPEC?
That's not now that's now that there you go. There you
Really?
go. There you
Really?
go.
Definitely
So
not us.
it's
OPEC.
self-defeatist, actually.
It's just the U.S. and Saudi. So
Oh my God.
and the U.S. controls House of Saud. So what are you really? Come on.
There's nothing much you can do. Your hands are
Oh,
tied.
your hands are tight. So they say jump. You're like, oh my,
Oh my God.
is going to 150, 200, 300. It's comedy. It's like they're playing in
Yeah.
Monopoly. It's like they're using Monopoly money. And
Yeah,
like seriously.
because they control the whole supply chain, right? In fact, the whole value chain. Yeah, Europe and the USA control the whole value chain. And it's so difficult. However good a product you have, like for example, it's crazy. When you go to Nigeria, you find that there's oil shortages, fuel shortages, and you wonder, okay, what's cutting?
Congo don't have
Cutting,
lights.
but you guys,
That's the thing. Congo, they have issues with electricity.
yeah,
With the Congo River. I'm like, seriously, guys.
I mean,
Comedy.
and we know that, like in Congo, like you say, Congo, it's been said the amount of water bodies they have can produce enough hydroelectricity to power the whole of Africa.
Yep. I think about 150,000 megawatts or something like that.
So
So it's crazy.
it's really frustrating when you have, and then you look at the leaders and these are puppets that were brought in by either America. It's crazy. When you look at all around Africa, you look at Central African Republic, you have Russia in there also, who've been fighting for, is it, they have a rare kind of diamond, is it the blue diamond or something? But they have some minerals that several countries are fighting for, and they finance different rebel groups to control the regions that have those minerals and give them weapons in exchange to kill each other because they really don't care about them. So I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what will happen to us in Africa, and especially like right now that because there's this problem in Ukraine now wheat prices are bound to shoot up, but because they between Ukraine and Russia they control about 36% of the world's wheat trade or supply, so to speak, not trade but supply.
And why can't we grow wheat again?
Yes,
No,
that's
why
the
can't?
question.
I don't think their wheat is special that grows only in the winter.
No, well, the quality of our soil is not that bad.
So why don't we have wheat? Why
No, and
aren't the neighboring countries that have oil selling to other African countries oil at a subsidized price?
exactly.
Why are we banking on Russia? Why are we banking on other countries? Even the transportation, it's so far. I'm like, really, guys?
Yeah, by the time
Come on.
it's when you think about it in trade, comparative cost advantage, it would be cheaper for us
Of course.
to produce,
Of
but
course.
you see whereby now when we have certain trade and tariff barriers, that are imposed upon African countries in terms of food production and everything, then you find that they demand for tariff barriers to be removed for African countries to import their stuff, hence killing our local industries. Just the same way the sugar industry, the sugar imports have killed our local sugar industries, or tea, or coffee, whereby we are reimporting Nescafe after it's been packaged and blended. We are reimporting our own coffee.
It's like or, magic show. I'm telling you, it's like
or,
magic.
Or we are importing chocolate, but we produce the cocoa. You know.
Yep.
And you know, and you look at the deal when you're selling your raw material, and you know we have to move from raw material exporters to value addition. That's the only way.
Yep.
We're going to get into the game, but will we be given a level playing ground in the international market as Africa?
Oh no.
In terms of tariffs, in terms
oh,
of,
no.
that's now where the whole question comes in.
Yeah, because well, again, you have to also realize that they can't stop the growth of Africa. They can stagnate it. They can try and slow it down, but it's really inevitable that Africa is going to be, it's the next frontier. It's the next superpower. If we solve certain internal problems, like, you know, political instability. But anyway, we're heading somewhere into recommended solutions, in my opinion, Pat. So,
but wait, Benjamin, are we heading somewhere, or are we being given a semblance of, is it a mirage, or
no? I'm not talking
that we are actually on our own, and yet we are not. There's the puppet and the puppeteer. We are actually making strides.
No, I'm talking in terms of our conversation, where we are headed.
Ah, yes. Oh, in terms of conversation, yes. The consciousness that's happening in Africa, especially with in this new information age where information is like gold. I think the awareness is going to increase. Maybe we won't see most of these changes in our lifetime, but subsequent generations, I believe so, will be able to speak out and have a different perspective and drive a paradigm shift in Africa. I believe so. Yes.
But I agree. And if we look back at what we were talking about in terms of China, right? You see a situation where, based on just their industrialization alone, they ended up contaminating like 33.3 million hectares of their farmland that can't be used for any constructive purpose. Like it's just there, you know.
Whoa.
And which made me now move into my next part, which is, how exactly did China become a powerhouse, right? At least where, you know, as of 2016 had 1.4 billion people, and most of those people were from a vastly impoverished agricultural land into now an industrialized powerhouse. So I'm like, how did these guys manage that? And if you think about where Africa was, if you think about where Africa was when China was going through their industrialization, I think even we were better per capita in terms of income.
Mm-hmm.
China was poor, you know?
Extremely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, so I'm like, how exactly did these guys pull this off and right now become what they are today? Because maybe that's what we need to be looking at and trying to figure out, what is it that these guys are doing that we are not? Because we're not even playing on an equal playing field. So maybe we need to take a step back a bit and then figure out, what is it we're missing, you know?
Yeah, that's true. And there's something I stumbled upon some time back. I was watching a documentary, and they were actually speaking about the transformation of China within everyone is talking about it. Within 20 years, China had changed.
Imagine.
But they had a leadership that had a vision, and you know the political dispensation is generic, a mixture of capitalism and communism.
Yeah, that's what they've done now. They've become a hybrid.
Yeah, a kind of hybrid thing.
And still not forgetting, it still has an aspect of dictatorial. What do I call it?
Dictatorialship. Dictatorialship. Yes,
dictatorialship.
It does. And what they were saying in this in this documentary is that actually helped them because the leader then had vision of where he wants China to be. But of course, there are costs to that, global warming, climate change, and all that, and the aspect of what you're talking about.
100%.
Because rapid industrialization, so more global, emissions, so pollution. Of course, health issues crop up. Soil degradation occurs. Hence, now they are moved towards Africa and other frontiers to secure food for them, because they also have a population explosion. But they have a big they have a big workforce, and their cost of production is low because of that, because the cost of labor per hour is, literally US cannot compete with it. So eventually, so in terms of comparative cost advantage, they have cheap labor and vast mineral resources as they are. So they're able to produce products at very competitive rates. Additionally, you find that because of the big market and the demand for American goods and stuff and European goods, a lot of foreign companies built their headquarters and moved to China, actually, because the government also gave them incentives. So hedging companies, investment companies, insurance companies, a lot of and IT-based companies, a lot of them right now are headquartered in China, either Hong Kong or whatever. And so there are certain incentives that they've been given, but they also know that China is a big consumer and has a huge market for their products. Yeah, so China played its cards. So that hybrid system is really working, because when you go to Hong Kong, my friend, now they're using QR codes. The shops that are not manned by human beings. You just go and it does facial recognition. It opens the door. You go and you do your shopping, and you scan your QR code, and it bills you directly through your account.
Man.
That's the level of technology that they are. They've reached. In fact, they are surpassing America in terms of technology at the moment. And it was so interesting to see all of these things happening in China.
Exactly, but now,
so
100%. But now let's even open it up more, because you need to figure out what exactly did they do, because for a country to have been behind us 35 years ago in terms of per capita income, in comparison, China, was only one third of sub-Saharan Africa in terms of per capita income. Now, China is the world's largest manufacturing powerhouse, produces nearly 50% of the world's major industrial goods. Steel.
Amongst the emerging tigers.
Steel, okay. 800%.
Remember, China is on the load.
Pardon?
Remember, sorry to interject, but remember, China is not alone. They're the emerging tigers. China is part of the emerging tigers.
Yes.
India. What are these Asian countries doing?
And then the votes are formed. The votes are formed on the side. They are forming something, or I don't know whether they formed it, but it's the kind of alliance we call the BRICS. You know the BRICS, right?
Brief me more on that.
The BRICS is Brazil, Russia, India, Colombia, I think, and South Africa. That is the BRICS. in terms of, yeah, and they want to basically collapse the petrol dollar, and they don't want petroleum to be traded, to be pegged on the dollar. Hence why the US is like, what?
Ah, they're gonna be fine. They're
Yeah,
gonna be
so
fine.
they're like, nope, we want to go our own
Listen.
way. You cannot just be the prefect of the whole world. No. We want to be able to also make our own decisions. So I'm pretty interested to see how that plays out. Yeah, but back, yeah.
So they're borrowing a leaf from Gaddafi. Anyway, I don't know how far that would go,
Yeah.
because I'm also looking at our regional, what do you know, regional bodies like African Union, ECOWAS, ECOWAS. You know, I'm just trying to see
Good.
how effective these bodies are
Yeah.
in protecting our interests, and they're like toothless dogs. They've been infiltrated by puppets placed there by the West, and they've been rendered completely immobile. You know,
Yeah,
I don't know how that will work.
I don't know. Maybe we need what, again, depending on your definition of the Grand Reset, I don't know what I don't know what
Yeah,
exactly we
because
need.
look at it this way. If Putin's aggression, one of the reasons he gave was because, look at it, around Russia, there are about 14 or more countries that join NATO. Yeah, around Russia, and he's like, okay, what's going on here?
Now you as Pat,
He has wanted to bring the war to me.
what would you do if I came and I told your neighbor, dude, just square out for me a section here. I want to put a small tower to be able to see what Patrick does every afternoon. I'm like, what? Hell no. Hell no. Now we need to figure out this neighbor, right? Yeah,
That's
because
not gonna happen.
this neighbor now is not conducive for my environment. I'm like, we need to figure out this neighbor.
Yeah.
What deal does this neighbor have with my enemy to allow them to
How?
come and put a ladder on the fence to watch me every afternoon? Hell no. So I'm just like, yeah. But before we digress, we're headed somewhere.
In terms of, we were talking about China,
Yeah, and
they are rapid industrialization.
Exactly. And
But
what
if you're talking about China,
we as Africans need to be observing. Right?
I would put China with Singapore. You remember at one point in the
Yes,
70s, we were
yes, yes,
the
yes,
same
yes, 100%.
level with Singapore.
Yes.
So, in other words, what is China doing, and what aren't we doing?
Yeah, because
Or are we the ones who are slowing ourselves down?
for someone to produce 60% of the world's cement, Pat, that's crazy. They have
It's
the
crazy.
world's largest production of ships, China. High speed trains, China. Robots, China. Tunnels, China. Bridges, as we can see in Africa. Tunnels, bridges, highways, chemical fibers, machine tools, computers, cell phones, China. Now, these guys, if you think about it, what they simply did, because it's not a secret, if you look it up, they had a strategy. And I think as Africa, if we kind of borrow, we don't have to use the whole blueprint, but we can borrow a few leaves here and there, just like China looked at why the West moved so fast. And they were very hardlined against their communism approach. But at some point, they had to realize that to get to where they wanted, they had to give some and to win some. So they let go of a bit of their ideologies and gained a bit of capitalism, which, at the end of the day is a win-win. So these guys, when I looked up what they stand for and what their approach is, at all costs, they decided to maintain political stability. Hence, I guess their approach of the iron fist on China. So, you know, at all costs. There's no, do they even have another party? I don't think they have another party.
No, I don't think so.
Damn, this guy, at all costs, that is number one. They maintain political stability because political unrest is not good for business and is not good for anything
At
progressive
all.
at all. So I was like, tick number one. When I looked at Africa and across, what is the number one thing across Africa? Political
Oh,
unrest.
political unrest, yes.
So you cannot achieve a particular goal if you have political unrest in your country.
You can't.
So number
You
one,
can't even
to
start talking.
you can't start talking. Number one, investment is not lucrative for investment. So definitely, even guys who are coming to industrialize in your area are not going to be happy. No, they're like, no. They're not going to come.
Yeah, political risk, man. You can't throw your money away.
So that is a huge thing. Okay. And then just like one of our local parties, who's of course I will not go into names, whose slogan is bottoms up approach, right?
Oh dear, you there you said it. There you
It's
said it.
okay, but
Bottoms up.
yeah,
Okay.
but that is
Continue.
yeah, but that's just common knowledge, right? And I'm not talking about Kenyan politics right now. I'm talking about Africa. So China decided to focus on the grassroots and they took a bottoms-up reforms approach. And they decided to focus on agriculture instead of the financial sector. Okay. Now, when you look across Africa again, what is the thing that makes us the most money, in my opinion? Agriculture, right?
Oh yeah, raw materials, exports.
Okay, we are producers, but then again, we don't do we, that. We end there on the supply chain, the supply chain, right?
Producers and even in production, we are not that efficient because we're using outdated methods of farming at the
Well,
moment.
that's true because then again, the cost of machinery and etc. But they chose to go that direction and they started to do it from grassroots up, which means they empowered the farmers, they threw in machinery, and with that, of course, comes in 100% something called mass production. Now, if you have the market for what you're mass producing, of course you're making money, right? And
Economies of
boom.
scale comparatively,
Boom. So that was number two that they decided to do, focus on what they're good at, which was initially agriculture. Then they deviated during another regime. Then they came back to, okay, agriculture is what makes us money. Let's focus on that. Number three, they decided to promote rural industry. Okay? Despite their primitive technologies, which was what you were talking about. So regardless of their lack of machinery and etc., because again, there were sanctions and etc., China was not in the best of, relationships with the West, of course. And they had their own challenges, but they decided to use what they had, despite their primitive technologies. They used what they had. Okay? And basically the government just said, you know what, we will back you in whatever way we can, whether it is subsidized seeds or whatever, or farming inputs.
Thank
So
you. Thank you.
there's that aspect of the role of government. They cannot be indemnified of their role. They cannot just be left to just say, okay, no, they have a role to play. So that was number three that they did. Okay.
Well, on number three, before you go to number four,
Mm-hmm.
I would like to add that in terms of agriculture, because it's all about, again, comparative cost advantage. What do you have advantage in producing cheaply and in terms of economics? So there's something called there are systems of following up seed, yeah? And now when you have a government such as what China did, they advised farmers on what quality of seed, they provided fertilizers and what the quality of seed that would be sold in the international market. So as much as yes, they're using the old methods, but government is advising, is coming in as, that's where we're lacking, because You remember when we were talking about KFC here and potatoes and all that? You remember when there was that uproar?
Exactly.
But the quality of potato, because a French fry in Kenya, in KFC Kenya, should be the same in the US. So now, in other countries, you can follow up
Or
the seed.
probably surpass that
Yeah.
quality.
Yes. So, but you know, standardizing production actually, standardizing food production and providing good seed, just like the way we have a problem with sugarcane. The quality of seed of our sugarcane isn't producing enough. You know, enough is sugar. So the quality of seed is so important, and the follow-up with the government to provide that and provide leadership on that and to provide the proper fertilizers, because there are certain companies that will not use your produce if it was grown using a certain pesticide or a fertilizer.
That's true, but
Like KFC
who
has those standards,
yeah, and then which is now
for example.
regulated on another level by who? WTO,
Yeah.
which is another story altogether, Pat.
All together, yeah. So all of this is intertwined. Okay, go ahead now to point number four. Yeah.
So then I know, man, number four. Number four, I think I mentioned with the, as I was talking about number
Yeah,
three,
you're on.
provide enormous government support for infrastructure build-up. Okay.
Yes. Exactly. Very important.
Number five was to follow a dual track system of government slash private ownership instead of a wholesale privatization. Okay, so before it was government had everything, which guys were complaining about, right? Now they said, okay, fine, let's break this thing into two. Let's involve private, but government still plays a part, which means they can regulate policy and make sure you're not being, you're not being screwed over on the side, but
Yes.
which is meant to be their role, but private sector still also gains.
Yeah, you gain, but they also monitor what you're producing.
Exactly, so
So
there was,
important.
so there was that approach also, and by doing the whole private thing, now you're heading towards capitalism, right?
Yeah.
So then now they decided, last but I think lastly, I think the only one I'll mention next is they decided to move up the industrial ladder from light to heavy industries, from labor to capital intensive production, from manufacturing to financial capitalism, and from a high saving state to a consumer centric welfare state.
That's heavy. You see, they had a plan.
They had a plan. Now, how as an African or an African state are you going to compete with that guy who has structured his system like that, knowing very well where they have come from and where they are trying to go? Here you are, we are
It's
still,
complete.
here we are still stuck on politics, eh? Just politics alone, which was number one on the list
Exactly.
before you even go far, which is unity, harmony, peace, all those things that go in there to create stability is being collapsed at the first stage by our politicians, number one. So we can never realize the end of these things I have listed until we go back and fix ourselves. That, if you ask me,
Exactly, and
if
I
you ask
concur.
me, that would be my conclusion. We got to fix ourselves first before we can start talking
Very
about
true.
all bottoms up, grassroots, and all this. Because
No,
regardless of
no.
whether you go to grassroots or not, the problem is still the
Yes.
same.
Because I would like to concur with you fully. Because Benjamin, when you look at policy, what is policy driven by in Africa? You know, governments are not enacting policy with an aim of actually helping people. You find their vested interests, or someone has gotten a kickback and now is pushing for policy that will favor multinationals.
Exactly.
Such stuff. So, or I'm creating a policy so that it hurts the opposition or the other opposing side in terms of politics.
Yeah.
So it's not well thought out. Even like now we're getting into our election season in Kenya.
Yeah. Yeah.
When we listen to what our politicians are saying out here, it's just ridiculous. Things that are not sustainable. The next thing that we're telling you, we're going to be constructing helipads on top of everyone's hatch and stuff.
For who to land?
Guys are
I'm telling you, guys have lost the plot. Man. They've lost the plot.
Yeah.
The plot.
Because here it is.
Yeah.
You remember when African leaders all ran to China because China was giving out loans?
Yep.
It was some time back. Was it like last year or the year before?
Yeah. I think it was like 2019 or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, and they all ran there so embarrassingly because they know, come and I want a kickback or whatever, I'll get one. And you know how China plays, right?
Yeah. Oh, China won't get 100.
Political business and whatever.
And
they won't interfere.
Yeah, but they don't take any hostages either.
No. They won't.
Yeah.
But they play their economic games very well, very efficient in terms of signing trade deals. Because you look at it like there were questions to as to why money isn't flowing in Kenya while there's huge infrastructural projects in Kenya.
Yeah.
China Roads and Bridges Corporation is building several of these roads apart from just the SGR.
Yeah.
Even in the area that I'm staying in right now, most of these roads are being done by the same company.
Yeah.
But what do they do? The money stays at Exim Bank. The money is not coming in because they're coming in also with their trucks and stuff. They're not buying any. They're not buying those trucks locally.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, they're coming with a certain number of staff. In terms of level, and we haven't really protected our labor force, just like say India, which was practicing protectionism, whereby they were so strict in terms of companies that come and establish themselves in India. They had serious requirements of in terms of the board. We have to have Indians. We have to have most of jobs levels from this level to that level. It's only locals. You cannot bring in expatriates. So that you create the jobs, money is flowing, but here it is, these guys are coming with their own trucks. They're coming in with their own material, so the very little is being bought locally, so you're not actually seeing the economic impact.
That's true.
The money circulating, and these guys are so clever.
I'm telling you, investment banks, foundations, it's layered up, man.
A sponsor,
China
government
ever.
Going through the
that thing is layered up more than a wedding cake. It's layered up. For real.
Yeah.
What?
So it's for us, we really have a long way to go because this all goes down to policy again.
Yeah.
How are we protecting our local industries? Why are all our industries collapsing? Coffee sector, tea sector, pyrethrum sector collapsed.
By design.
Our fishery.
By design.
By our fishery industry, we had fish from China being imported. It's ridiculous. I think it's still going on.
Yeah.
So what are we doing?
I know,
what
man.
What exactly are we doing?
I know, man. So, unfortunately, Pat, as usual, we can go on and on. You and I can talk from now till kingdom come.
Oh, my God.
It won't end, but unfortunately, we're coming to, it's about that time.
Yes, yes. But...
So, what do you think the solution is, in your opinion?
In my view,
what should we do?
In my view, like
And
you said earlier,
you could also add your parting shot.
in my view, it's all about leadership, like you said. And until we have leaders who have vision, because everything starts with a vision, right? You can't achieve what you don't see or you don't envision. You cannot.
100%.
So now we have to have those leaders who can see Africa from that perspective, selfless leaders who are not just there to, okay, well, I'm here to get amass as much wealth as I can while I'm in office.
Yes, sir.
So it starts with that, and then policy. And leaders who are not afraid to speak out against the West, to negotiate those tariffs and remove tariff barriers for our goods, the markets, and open up markets in Europe and just level the playing field. So without that, for me, the rest is a mirage. Yeah. So for me, leadership. Africa suffers from a lack of selfless and leadership that does not have vision. Yeah, so for me, it's all about that. Yeah.
Okay, that's pretty
Yeah.
dope.
Yeah.
I think for me, as I said, it boils down to very to the simplest of things. So I'll just focus on one thing. Until Africa finds its inner peace, we shall
Yes.
never realize our full potential until we find our inner peace. Our inner peace meaning where we are comfortable in our skin, because there's something called inferiority complex.
Exactly. Yes,
And you're
yes,
not
yes.
inferior to anybody. You know, you're as
Yes.
powerful as anybody. So we have to get rid of our inferiority complex as people. We have to be okay with each other. It doesn't matter who came from where, the tribe. If we really dig deep to the origin, I'm sure we'll just laugh, because you hate yourself, if you understand what I mean.
Yes, yes, indeed, Benjamin.
How do you hate yourself? How do you kill yourself?
Exactly, man.
How do
Exactly.
you starve yourself? How do you rape yourself? How do you do all those things to yourself?
Ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. So we have to first go down to the bottom ground zero and build back. And
Yeah,
I know
gain
that
back our
statement.
self-esteem.
But I know that statement has been abused, really. Build back. The word build back. Build back crops up in World Economic Forum more than anything. Build back better. That's actually the statement. Build back better. But anyway,
Yeah, you know, it has
so
to go past a catchphrase.
100%. So, you know, it's been real fat, especially for our first
Yes, wow.
episode, season two. Damn, we are here again. You
We're
know?
back.
Yeah, and of course to our listeners who are, you know, they always keep us active and looking for more content, you know, to churn out. You know, we appreciate the love. We appreciate you taking your time to listen to us, you know, as always. Thanks
Yes, indeed.
for joining us, you know, on our first episode of season two. And you can
Yeah.
catch all our episodes on Spotify, Google Podcasts via RSS, so you'll never miss a show. And while you're at it, as usual, if you found any value in the show, we'd appreciate a rating, or if you'd simply tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. And yeah, that would really help us. Be sure to
Yeah,
tune
that would be great.
in. Yeah, be sure to tune in next week for our next episode two. And yeah, again, usually I leave guys with a quote, and this time I thought about something and I'm like, okay. Based on what we were talking about when it comes to, you know, economic warfare, I'll sign out with what I think in terms of economic warfare. and which is the poverty of nations is caused by their inability to mass produce consumption of goods. That is
exactly
okay. But mass production requires also mass markets and mass distribution to render it profitable.
Exactly.
So
value chain.
That is food for thought. And Africa has every capability of doing so. Have a great week, guys. Peace.